And then they saw me in a bra, and that was it.
What's going on, Pearl Jam nerds? You are listening to Single Podcast Theory. I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek.
What's up?
Hey, man.
Hey. We both sound really chill today.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, guys. Yeah.
That Sunday afternoon recording.
See, yeah.
You know?
Been eating all day. I'm just full.
Poor little Blazy just told me he didn't get his Sunday nap. So Blazy's tired. Sunday nap. Get the fuck out of here.
Aren't you? You hate naps, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you hate naps? It's the greatest fucking thing in the world.
I mean, guaranteed, you know, or anxiety attack after I wake up from a nap, an unscheduled, unintended nap. I just freak out about, like, I've missed something. There's stuff I could have been doing. Blah, blah, blah. And now I'm going to be up even later because I accidentally fell asleep for 2 hours.
Well, that's why I like it, because now I can stay up later.
Yeah, no, I like to get 8 hours, you know what I mean?
If you'd let me hit pause right now and I come back about 9:30 and we could finish, I would do it.
For real?
Mm.
No, can't do it. Can't do it, man.
I think it's because I in my head I'm catching up on sleep that I didn't get during the week, because I stay up way too late. I should go to bed.
Yeah,
a lot
especially for
than
what
I do.
Time you go into work.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd be an insane person now.
Yeah.
I kind of fell into that trap. I don't know if we've talked about this before, and this has nothing to do with Pearl Jam, but that kind of like
this conversation or this whole episode.
we don't know yet. We'll explain that in just a minute. And now I don't remember what I was saying.
Oh, naps or getting up early for work.
Hmm. Oh, my God.
Man.
What was I just saying?
I'm the old man that can't remember 30 seconds ago what we were talking about.
I know. What was I going to say?
You were talking about how much it would kill you to get up so early for work.
Hmm. Nope, I don't think it was that. Well... Man, fail number one for the great experiment. You know I'm going to remember in like 5 minutes too.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh, I remembered something.
Yeah,
we were talking about. Oh, we were talking last night about that place that I quote unquote volunteered at in mm-hmm. Florida.
Yeah, yeah,
and it was like a kids thing.
Right.
It was called Give Kids the World.
Mm.
I finally remembered.
Awesome. Well, everyone, no one knows what you're talking about at all.
Yeah. When I lived in Florida, I volunteered at this place called Give Kids the World, and they were like worked with Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a woodsy campground place that the kids would stay at, and like for a day or two, then they'd go spend the world at Disney Day and then come back to this place. And we just, you know, they had like a petting zoo and like ice cream and a pool and stuff. It was cool.
Nice, man. When was that?
Yeah. 95, 96.
I was in high school. You were a young pup.
I was 22, 21.
All right, well, let's get on with this.
Yeah, okay.
I feel like we've already been rambling a bit. So, welcome to episode 52. I hope that number's correct. Yeah, Brendan was 51, right? So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
This week is a little bit different. It's funny, I've actually been thinking about this. Now, this is just born out of, I won't call it laziness, but... No, it's not laziness at all. But it's just been really busy week.
It's probably, yeah, the opposite.
Yeah, it's... And we just didn't have time to connect, and that was mainly on my side. It was one of those weeks.
Oh, yeah, dude.
One of those weeks where, I look at our text thread, and it's like gray, 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 blue. Real short blue.
It's just a great, thumbs
great,
up.
Great,
it's
great,
not
great.
Even a,
yeah, yeah, right. Or even better, it's not. I didn't even do that. I just liked the actual last text. Gave it the right, thumbs right. up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so it's been one of those weeks. And so finally I was like, you know what? You know what we haven't done? Truly just had, you know, people say things like, I feel like I'm hanging out with my friends that I don't live close to anymore, that they're the only people I could nerd out, you know, about Pearl Jam with. That's what you, you know, the podcast sounds like to me, which is great because it is that. But we do, you know, kind of come up with what we're going to talk about and talk through a bunch of stuff. And so we're going to put it to the test this week. We're going to do our emails, all that good stuff, and then we're just going to talk about Pearl Jam and see what happens.
Yeah. So, you texted me and said, what the hell are we going to talk about tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
And jokingly, I said, Pearl Jam, exclamation point. And then you said, let's seriously do that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, let's do it.
Kind of takes the stress off a little bit, you know?
Yeah. So this is the episode title, which you've probably seen already, but freestyle dot 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 yo.
I still think it should be a comma, not an ellipsis. We'll hash that out. We'll see.
We don't even know now. You might be looking at freestyle comma yo.
It's true.
But there's going to be an exclamation point either way.
I mean, not that it's, you know, you can't tell the future or anything, but considering who edits and uploads the,
that's true,
podcasts.
Oh, yeah, but I have access. I have gone back and fixed your
grammatical
errors.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, really? Maybe I'll change it. And then change the,
change it
the
back
password.
After.
Change the password to the email
shit,
address as well. Oh, man. Everything would
lock
crumble.
Me out?
If I went insane and locked you out,
yeah,
the whole thing would crumble.
Yeah. No, what? Fuck you, Brad Lyons.
No, I'm saying you're really good about the emails and
I see what you're saying.
Just because of the nature of it, there's way more activity on Facebook than there is our other socials, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And you handle all that stuff, so.
I try to.
I think you do a damn good job, my friend.
Well, thanks.
Yeah, so we're just going to kind of talk some shit.
Freestyle.
But first, we're going to do some emails. Yo. So we're going to start off, as usual, with some Pearl Jam story time.
Good evening. This is Storytellers. We are here to tell stories.
We just have friends up here that are listening to stories.
Have I got a little story for you?
This is the true story.
All right. This week is Brad L's week. Our story this week comes from Steve McCullum. He says, Hi, Brad's. Been searching for a Pearl Jam podcast for years and kind of gave up for a while. About 2 weeks ago, you popped up when I searched Pearl Jam, so I guess you achieved your goal of getting enough ratings. Great job. And if you don't know what that means, depending on where he is listening or catching up, iTunes reviews really help us show up in searches. So we haven't talked about that in a long time. I'm just going to say, if you have a second and you're new to the show, we would love some reviews if you have a second. If not, no big deal. I'm already listening up to the MTV Unplugged podcast, and I really enjoy the inside information on the recordings and the behind-the-scenes stuff. Keep that coming. What's so funny?
Just because this week is not going to have any inside information or behind the scenes stuff. So
yeah. Well, you never know. This could.
Sorry.
Hey, why are you being so fucking deputy downer over here? This could end up being our best episode
ever.
That's
true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that should be the title.
This could be our best episode ever.
This could be. Yeah, you be the judge, yo.
Yeah, maybe we'll switch it up. Let's see here. Where did I leave off?
I wanted to share.
Yeah, keep that coming. Wanted to share how I became a lifelong fan of the band. I'd always been aware of Pearl Jam, but was into more of the classic rock that all my friends were into. I remember hearing 10 in late 93 and wasn't quite hooked. Part of that, I only knew the singles and videos from MTV. I was really impressed with the three NSO, or SNL performances for Not For You, Rearview Mirror, and Daughter. Man, those are so fucking good. I still, if I don't know what I want to watch and I want to pull up some PJ YouTube, that'll be kind of like a default. Watching those and watching the, because they have like the sound checks up on YouTube as well.
Yeah.
When they're kind of like getting all the camera shots together and they're sound checking and all that shit. It's cool. Let's see here.
Is that the one with Adam Sandler?
I think so. Yeah, it was.
Or no, not Adam Sandler.
It was
who was the host?
You know what? I actually don't remember. But Adam Sandler had done that promo.
Right. But no, the host was I mean, you know who he's that dude from that movie.
There you go.
His brother's real famous. Winning. Who's that guy?
Charlie Sheen?
Yeah, who's his Emilio Estevez.
That's right, you're right. Yep.
And at one point, like, him and Eddie are like talking while they're like setting up.
Oh, really? I don't think I ever saw that.
I think.
That's cool.
No? Maybe I'm misremembering.
I don't know. I'll go check it out.
Though. Anyway.
He says, though, about those performances. What'd you say?
More of that great behind-the-scenes banter.
Yeah, man. About those three performances, he says, man, Eddie was intense. Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I always go back to those, I think.
Yeah, great, great stuff.
Yeah. The summer of 94, I remember really warming up to verses. Roll ahead to Christmas time, and my aunt bought me Vitalogy as a gift, and we finally got a CD player as a family stereo. I got to discover this album front to back and was hooked. Last Exit, Spin the Black Circle, Not For You, Whipping, Satan's Bed were fucking badass. Nothing Man and Better Man were great slower songs, and I even liked I, Davenita's groove and was aware of the secret message of Pry 2 shortly after the release. Stupid Mop was also intriguing, capping off the mood of the album. I like this. I like hearing someone like that from the beginning didn't just toss out the quote-unquote weird tracks. Like,
yeah.
I mean, like I did, you know?
Yeah.
that's cool. You don't hear that a whole lot. Let's see. Fast forward a couple months, and I found a bootleg tape of the Monkey Wrench Studio versions of the Vitalogy album, and loved the raw sound. I then stumbled across Fox Theater and a video of a Milwaukee show in '95 when they played Maggot Brain, which I believe Brad B was at. Were you?
I was.
Hell yeah, man!
My first show.
That's badass.
It was awesome.
From then
even
on,
I was like all the way in the back.
Yeah, but still. I mean, like, but the Atlanta show I went to, I didn't have great seats, you know?
Right.
It was still amazing. God, I'm lost again. Okay. From then on, I was saturated with Pearl Jam bootlegs. My first concert was Toronto 96 during the No Code tour. No shit. I almost passed out in the pit during Blood after getting kicked in the head by multiple Doc Martin boots. Since then, I've seen them a modest 12 to 15 times. Damn, dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It says, I also agree with Music Brad, how I kind of prefer the slower tempo of a 1995 Corduroy or a 1992 Even Flow. That's the first time someone's separated us by me being Music Brad.
Yeah. I wonder what that's my funny. Moniker is.
Brad.
Music Brad and Asshole Brad.
No. Oh, please. You're a fucking darling. All right. Let's see. Anyway, he says, I tried to keep this short, but I've been following them for about 24 years. Keep up the good work and keep on rocking. Steve McCollum, Toronto, Canada. Thanks so much, Steve. I love that story.
Yeah, I wonder how... Because that was like the Ticketmaster days... But is Ticketmaster, this probably sounds stupid, but like, is Ticketmaster only like a U.S. thing? Or was that part of...
I don't know.
Of...
That's, I mean, at that age, back when I was really active, like when it was Ticketmaster and all that, I wouldn't have, I don't know if that's like a multinational thing or if it...
Do you remember Ticketron?
No.
I wonder if that was just a like Chicago thing or like a northern thing. Ticketron. That
yeah,
was
I don't even think
go.
I've ever heard of that.
Yeah.
But... well, thanks again, Steve. Appreciate you taking the time to write in.
Yeah, you know, you talking about Music Brad. Excuse me. And he, you know, you guys prefer the slower tempo of those older, the older stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening. I would listen to something. I can't remember what, but it was an older show.
Yeah.
And they were playing stuff like so slow.
Are you talking like Dave A era early stuff or
no? It was Jack Irons.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember what show that was. I was listening to.
He did slow them down in some ways. And yeah. I don't mean. But I'm like, this I don't mean cool. that bad way.
No, it was good. I mean, I'm like, this is really good. I don't mind that they're so sped up, but it was cool listening to that slower stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or hearing them play it slower,
sure,
was pretty cool. It like kind of jumped out at me, like, man, this does sound different,
right?
Than it's like what I've been
over the years. They've like bumped it 5 BPM a year for you know however long. All right, what you got next?
Okay, I think Andrew Plath wrote in.
Yep,
is that the right order?
Yeah, man.
All right, hey Brads. Congrats on 50 episodes. I'm going to save this next part for the end. Great episode to cap it off as well. I like the points about how Eddie has changed, maybe mellowed over the years. I remembered something that happened before Nothing was released. Eddie was on a Cubs... Man. Hold on a second.
Get some water.
Mm-hmm. All right. I hope that won't happen again.
You'll be fine.
Eddie was on a Cubs TV broadcast because he was the seventh inning stretch guest singer. Eddie was sitting down with Len Casper and Bob Brenly, the Cubs broadcasters at the time. Eddie was really focused on the game, and Len is trying to get him to be more talkative, and the following dialogue occurs. Len says, "So this new album is self-titled?" And Eddie says, "Yeah, we titled it ourselves."
Okay.
Len and Bob look at each other incredulously and laugh. Len then explains what self-titled means, and Eddie just goes, "Oh," and smiles. I remember cracking up thinking, did that really just happen? Essentially, I think Ed is finally at the point where he can be open and actually have some fun.
I agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoyed the Nothing episode. I love this album, but Brad L's point about it not having staying power is spot on. In my opinion, same thing with Riot Act. But, as you guys have mentioned, thankfully Pearl Jam has never had a turd album.
True, true, true.
And then he's talking about that he had emailed us before that he was going to be a guest on another podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And they did actually record it. And I just wanted to give them a shout out because I did listen to it and it was pretty good. I mean, they talked about Jeremy, the song, cool. And the video. Because the podcast is called Mental Illness in Pop Culture.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's three presenters that are counselors, and then the other guy is an academic that studies the interaction of race and pop culture that influences their, you know, their viewpoints.
Sure.
And like I said, they talked about this song in the video for Jeremy. It was cool. It was really interesting, you know.
I would have to check that out.
Yeah, Mental Illness in Pop Culture. And you can I found it on iTunes, but I'm sure you can find it wherever podcasts are out there.
Yeah, man, just put it in the Googles.
Yeah. He says, "Keep on whistling, Andy." So are you?
I'm not happy about that. Oh, God. Really? That's all it took? One mention?
Yes.
The first mention?
Yes. It's like Beetlejuice, but you just have to say it once, and I'm down.
Is that the part you were saving for later?
No, 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 no.
Oh. So you didn't hang on for very long.
No, he says, "Stereotypical counselor question incoming. How are you guys feeling about this journey?" The podcast, like being at 50 episodes. Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
What do you think?
It's completely different than I thought it was going to be, you know, in just the idea phase or whatever. What about for you?
No, dude, I think it's... I love it. And I think it's...
Oh, I'm not saying I love it. I'm just saying it's like, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot more people than I thought.
Yeah, definitely. Totally. I thought we'd have like a few hundred.
Yeah, I mean,
at this point.
I knew that we had had one really great like 45-minute phone conversation, but when I think back on it, being willing to like start a podcast about a really popular band with a guy you've talked to for 45 minutes.
Right.
And kind of, I guess, trusting that there's going to be like a rapport at least, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the way it's turned out has been really cool. You know, we've like legit become friends.
Yeah. Yeah. At that point, yeah, it was pretty crazy. We both kind of just jumped in, you know.
Sure.
The deep end without really knowing. But I mean, you know, we're both at an age where we can kind of get a sense of people.
Sure.
You know, and plus the whole Clint, you know, connection.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I met him, he met me, he knows you. So there's kind of this weird, like, background kind of getting to know each other and knowing that it's okay because it's through him. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
Did I just ramble on?
No, trust factor involved.
Yeah,
and,
there you go.
Absolutely.
So that helped. But yeah, at this point, we're just firing.
Yeah. I mean, I feel more and more comfortable in certain ways, like every time we put out an episode, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm terrified too, but we know each other so well now and know how to make each other laugh. We know how to push each other's buttons. We know how to do all of it, you know what I mean? And we did have to, that is one thing that's not necessarily about the quote unquote podcast. I guess it is in the sense that we had to learn how to communicate with each other though. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
As anyone has to, but when you're doing it in this context and the whole crux of what you're doing, what you're putting out into the world is communication. You know what I mean? Like you really have to kind of like speed up the process.
But there's definitely like background conversations that we had to have after the initial like, hey, how you doing? Like, I'm Brad, you know, and I've seen Pearl Jam 9 times. Oh, dude, that's a lot. You know, just the niceties. But then when we start getting down to like the actual like technical part of doing this, you know, we had a couple of nothing bad, but we had some deeper conversations about like, you know, we need to do this and we need to do less of that. And I don't want it to be this way and I want it to be that way. And, you know.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
But now it's all a sham. We started hating each other at that point, but we figured, well, the podcast is doing all right. We'll just pretend like we still like each other.
We'll do it for the kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, staying together for the kids, man.
Yes.
It's a lot of kids. Kind of makes me want to, oof, that's terrifying.
Yeah, but I mean, we've had some like late night phone conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Where we've gotten like, I think I trust you enough to tell you the deepest, darkest secret.
Yeah, man. Like last night?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, just put it out there.
Yeah.
No, but it's been a cool, and then obviously, I don't want to go on forever about this or anything, but like really feeling like you get to, even for me that's not, I don't know, I guess able as, not that it's easy for you either. I just, the way my day looks, it's really hard to keep up with things like social media. And to be honest with you, I'm not always a fan of it, but I do. It's been really cool to meet people through the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And have, I mean, when you think about it, so much of our conversation week to week has really become our conversation with other fans and listeners, Pearl Jam fans and listeners of the show, and it's, you know, people meeting as listeners and becoming friends and going to shows together, and then we're gonna hopefully meet a lot of people in Chicago, which I think will kind of change everything again. It'll make me look at this podcast in a different light, I'm sure, but because that's gonna be a crazy weekend, dude.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
It is, though. It's going to be nuts.
Yeah. Anyway, but there's the obvious part, which is, you know, getting to meet so many like-minded people.
Yeah.
So, and I think Pearl Jam fans must be pretty nice, because I keep saying this, but still, man, we're getting close to a year now, and we haven't had one asshole.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
people disagree.
That's my biggest thing, because that's my biggest surprise, is that we have not gotten one, like, nasty email. Yeah. Like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Eddie this and Eddie that. And
sure.
That's not what happened. You know what I mean?
That's cool.
So.
Well, thanks for the question, dude.
Andrew. It just, this question, like, reminded me of, I don't know if you ever saw, you know who Christoph Waltz is, the actor? He's in Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, yeah.
He was on SNL. And he did a, it was supposed, the skit was like a game show.
Right.
And they had to answer a question. And the question is, he just, like, looks at them, and they're like, he says to the person, like, what have you become?
Oh, God. And
it's like this big, like, game show, and it's, like, crazy music, and it's like, we're going to have fun, and here's your host. And he comes out, and he's like, hey, everybody, I'm so-and-so, and now I just have one question for you. What have you become? And then they just, like, slowly zoom in to, like, the contestant, and he's just like, what? Like,
holy shit.
And he's, like, thinking about his whole life. And I'm like, when I read that question, like, how are you guys feeling? And right. I'm like, I'm good. I think I'm good. Are we good?
I don't know. Should I not think about this right now?
Yeah.
But maybe that means I need to think about it.
And yeah.
God.
I'm like, I need to talk to lions.
That's funny, man. All right, let's move on.
All right, what do you got? Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, man. We got a email here from Tom Leahy. And he says, hey, Bradberries, I wanted to write in and say, I know, I like
that's
that
one. That's a good one. That's a new one.
That's a new one, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I like that. Bradberries. Actually, I really like that. All right.
Yeah.
I wanted to write in and say, I think it's been fitting to have Riot Act, Nothing, and Brendan O'Brien episodes relatively close together. It sets up one of the Pearl Jam fan questions that's definitive for me. Where does Adam Casper reside in the Pearl Jam timescape? All right, so Tom, you've got to be some sort of recording nerd of some sort, right? To like ask, and it's a really good question, but I don't know, non-musician, non-recording arts people would necessarily think to ask about that. You know, am I right?
Yeah, when I saw this, I'm like, this is all Brad Lyons territory. this email is from Music Brad, not Brad.
There you go. He says, when Adam Casper entered the Pearl Jam picture, I was so primed for that collaboration. I certainly wasn't tired of or bored by the Brendan O'Brien sound, but by the time Chad Blake was chosen to produce Binaural, the band had trained me to crave creative shakeups. Although I like Binaural, I viewed it as a transition album in which they were getting used to being a band that happened to have Matt Cameron as its drummer. I thought of Evacuation and Rival as songs that signaled even better things to come. When Riot Act came out, I felt like I was getting exactly the album I had been waiting for. I had loved Yield so much, deeply connected with it on so many levels, and Riot Act was like Yield Part 2 for me. Yield set in a Bush administration backdrop. Well, there's already a lot just in that one paragraph.
Right, yeah, there. That's a really interesting take on Riot Act.
Yeah, super.
Because for me, and I think for you, like, I don't associate those two albums at all together.
I don't, but this is, it's kind of funny. It's like, the chronology does matter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like,
yeah.
I think sometimes when a record ends up being one of your not favorites, or it just came out at a time where maybe you weren't, like, 150% in with a certain band at a certain time, you can kind of lose those records a little bit. I think Riot Act, I did not like Riot Act. I definitely kind of wore it out or whatever, but I just kind of felt like, yeah, it's funny. I didn't feel like it was a continuation of Yield, but maybe that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, you make an interesting point. I never really thought of it that way, but yeah, when Riot Act came out, that was a real low point in my life. you right. know? And I wonder if that's subtly or subconsciously, like, I, you know, associate that album with that time right. in my life. And
a bad connection to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I do that with records, too. But, yeah, it's just an interesting thought. I fucking love Rivals so much, man. I just wanted to say that. It says, noted. I love the live recording sound that Adam Kasper created on those albums. A lot of those tracks make me feel as though it's the middle of the night in a quiet city and I've stumbled upon an amazing band playing in a small club. In promotional interviews, band members talked a lot about how many of the recordings were the second or third take. Take that spontaneity and add in the rhythmic ninja skills manifested with Mad Around and you get magic. It seemed like exactly where they needed to be at the time. Rick Rubin said once that his goal with producing was to make each song sound like the very best version of the band's live performance. I feel as though Adam Kasper was triple underlying that the very best version of Pearl Jam was as a live band, and it didn't fucking matter if it was their best performance. It would still be transcendent. Just get the microphones in the right place. Yeah.
I tell you what, dude, this is why I love getting emails from people, because mm-hmm. we're both pretty, it's pretty well known how we feel about Riot Act,
mm-hmm.
but reading that paragraph, like, I will now listen to Riot Act from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And I will hear it in a different way because of what he wrote here, you know?
Yeah. I think part of it, too, is just kind of like, sometimes, especially when you've been a fan of a band like that for so long, like, you kind of have like these personal blinders that you put on with each mm-hmm. record and how you feel yeah. about it and blah 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 blah, and sometimes you don't get this opportunity. But with a band like Pearl Jam, one thing about doing this show has changed. Like, it's making me take a few steps back and kind of look at a wider lens. And when yeah. you kind of look at 10 records, you know, not even counting stuff like Lost Dogs or whatever, everything really does kind of make sense. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
if you kind
yeah.
of take that personal, subjective, whatever off for just a second, and maybe that's a painfully obvious observation and really stupid, but it kind of helps me look at it like that when we're going to do an episode about a record, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let's get through this one. Yeah. That dovetailed perfectly with Ed's skill of writing lyrics with immediacy, performing with immediacy, bringing you along for the ride. A lot of the Riot Act and Nothing tracks contain descriptions of being heartbroken by someone you love or the country you love. I think Adam Kasper's approach captured that in a way that made you feel you weren't hearing those feelings through the filter of a radio or a bullhorn. A friend was sitting down to tell you very explicitly the ways in which they were being torn apart inside. The sad coincidence was that the same thing was happening to you, or had happened to you. Fortunately and unfortunately, you weren't alone. Hot damn! That's a good paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I felt like that
yeah.
a lot. And you know, he said it better than I have in the past, but just that whole idea of, like, I think we talked about one time, people, I do listen to, or went through a long time, it's less now, I would guess, but listen to a lot of super chill music, you know, and depressing music. And people are like, why, how could you listen to that? Doesn't it just make you more depressed? I'm like, no, it makes me feel like I'm not the only one that feels this way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That someone
yeah.
else felt that way and were able to articulate it through music. So, yeah, I love the paragraph. Tom, let's see. All that is kind of my pre-single podcast theory attitude. To me, Riot Act and Nothing sounded like the album's most true to the band's vision of itself. I stand by that opinion, and I would have liked to have another album or two that included Adam Kasper. But that sentiment is tempered by hearing the more in-depth thoughts about Brendan O'Brien's approach offered by you and other listeners over the course of this podcast. What is really clear to me now is that he helped orchestrate a soft landing for them out of angst into what I think can most accurately be categorized as parenthood. Not that parenthood's angst-free by any means, but it's a different perspective, for sure, than you against the world. I believe it was in one of the Lightning Bolt interviews where Ed said he had built a mausoleum to introspection, but the kids don't have any patience for that. The new Pearl Jam model leaves room for them to be themselves, but not necessarily be caught up with themselves. Backspacer in particular has so many aspects of it that carve out the room for their current dynamic, lyrical themes, overall album length, approach to live performances, and so on. It starts to become obvious that Brendan O'Brien knew exactly how to cut off some excess weight with a scalpel to make room for other things, and that's exactly what the band needed. Enough said for now, I think. Keep on rocking, Tom from Vermont. Man!
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. We could do
good email.
We could do like half an episode just about the email.
Yeah, no.
Is there anything that we didn't quickly address? Oh, well, one thing just for me is that it's might be the first time I've come in contact with someone saying that no, my favorite Pearl Jam producer is Adam Kasper. It's just kind of like a I don't know, like a given, or like you have to think Brendan O'Brien is God if you're a Pearl Jam fan. Now, I believe he deserves it. I love him. But it's the first time I've heard someone else say that they thought Adam was the shit.
Yeah. What's I'm familiar with his name, but probably only because Riot Act. What else has he produced? Like, big stuff?
A lot of stuff you probably listen to. I mean,
yeah,
he did Soundgarden. He did Down on the Upside. He did King Animal. He did probably my favorite Queens of the Stone Age records, Songs for the Deaf.
Oh, wow. Okay.
He did two of my favorite Foo Fighters records, which, and then he did two Eddie Vedder solo records. He did ukulele songs. Oh, God, what's the name of that other one? It might have been his first one, but.
Eddie?
Yeah.
The Into the Wild?
I don't remember. I have to look it up. But he's done two Eddie records.
Does he have another? God, we're horrible Pearl Jam fans, right?
I don't know. I didn't bring my phone or anything in here. But, yeah, I don't know. He's got two credits for Eddie Vedder records. Of course, I didn't write the titles down. But, or I can't think of the titles right now. But, yeah, so he's done lots of great shit. And all those observations are true. I mean, he's definitely, like, all those records that I just listed, the kind of like accentuating the live aspect of a band is totally in Adam Kasper's kind of wheelhouse or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
I looked it up.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
What you got?
Into the Wild is his first solo record.
So he did that one? Songs.
He did.
Okay, cool.
Adam did.
Awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, man.
All right.
So, I mean, obviously he's got to be friends with Eddie and the boys, too. You know? I could be wrong. I thought, though, in the past he had also been an engineer along with Nick Didia on some stuff, but I could be making that up. Anyway, thanks for the email, Tom. What you got next?
John Farrar wrote back.
Yeah.
B&B. I don't have any controversial Brendan O'Brien or Clint Wells Comedy Hour opinions, so I'll just chastise you for making us wait for that Yield episode another week.
God.
Well, it might be a few more another weeks.
Yeah.
I used to drive by this.
Sorry, yeah. I just was saying, we did intend on holding Yield back.
Yeah, did we ever talk about, I don't think we ever talked about this. Now I feel really bad.
Plans had to change, I'm just realizing this, and I had sent an email to our Patreon supporters, and then we had, because of scheduling conflicts with some guests, we had to nix it, and I never wrote back saying, hey, this is what happened, so sorry. So now I've just realized for however many weeks, people have just been like, is this week Yield? Is this week Yield?
Yeah.
So we're going to have to disappoint you for a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hopefully, man, maybe... I'm not going to say anything.
Nope, don't.
He says, I used to drive by his studio sometimes and wonder what parts of No Code were recorded there. I don't think it's in the same place anymore. Jeff got mugged there during recording once, and then the band kind of gave the collective finger to Atlanta. Did you know that Jeff got mugged outside of a studio one time in Atlanta?
You had told me that.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I think
I didn't know before.
Like, I'm pretty sure it was like broad daylight. And unless I'm misremembering, there's like security footage of it happening.
Right.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah. I'd be like, yeah, fuck this place too. And he goes on to say, we have to get Brad B listening to better music. Bayside? What the fuck, dude? You need to be locked in a room with every Replacements and Ramones record
yes!
until you see the light.
And Pink Floyd.
Listen, I like the Ramones.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't like the Ramones and Bayside. That's not
allowed. You can.
Okay.
It's just lame.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding.
Well, John agrees with you. So,
all right, that's fair
just
enough.
So you know. And then he goes on to say, these recent set lists are nuts. It's like they put all their songs on a playlist and hit shuffle and just said, fuck it. We'll play the first 18 that come up. Fatal into Around the Bend.
Yeah.
That would be incredible to see.
Yeah.
That they play that at the London makeup show.
Yeah, I've been looking at some of these set lists. I'm like, damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel good.
That London makeup show was, I mean, we kind of all knew this was going to be awesome, and mm-hmm. they delivered. So.
Damn, dude.
And then he says, Push Me, Pull Me is the fifth best song on Yield.
Okay.
John, what do you think of that?
Your voice tone tells me exactly what you think about that. You go, and then he, because you're from Chicago, and then he says...
Go on.
Mm-mm. We'll get to it later, but I mean, I can't do accents. We've talked about this, but
no, I'm saying like you. Anyway,
I love the that. Fifth? The funny thing is, like, I don't think I ever hated that song by any means, but
right.
Whatever. But hearing, I think I texted you actually. I was listening to a boot, and I can't remember what it was, but might have been when they've played all of Yield. That's what it was. I can't remember what show that was where they did all of Yield.
Milwaukee. 2016. Yield-walkie, as it's known in the Pearl Jam nerdery circles. Yeah.
That live performance completely changed my mind of that song.
Yeah.
Now I kind of really like it. I feel like...
I definitely don't hate it either, but fifth best song on Yield? Fifth?
hell you say?
Fucking... Come on, man.
Oh, man. You're just getting back at him for his Bayside comment.
No, that's not it at all. I'm looking at the track listing right here.
Okay.
What song is worse than Push Me, Pull Me? Like, how would you rank? What song would you rank Push Me, Pull Me better than?
Oh, I wouldn't.
Okay. Thank you. Oh, you're just getting back at him.
Shut up, Brad.
I'm sorry.
Thanks right, for writing in, nice John.
Yes, John. Thank you.
Thanks for right. causing a rift in our Pearl Jam marriage.
Brad Lyons, what have you become?
I don't even know. I don't. All right. We've got one from Trudy. She says, good evening. This is a funny email. My name is Trudy, and I'm from Port Richey, Florida. I've recently been listening.
Wait. Read the whole thing.
What did I leave out?
Her last name.
Oh, Trudy Hasiak?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just saying right. Trudy.
I thought you'd butcher it.
Nope. Would you all have right. butchered it?
No.
So
go
you
on.
You approve of my pronunciation?
Yeah.
I love... Okay, Brad B. Fucking pronounce it. For everyone listening, this is how you spell it. No, I'm not going to spell it someone's last name, but Hasiak.
Hasiak.
Hasiak. That's super fucking Yankee.
Hazy. Well, Chicago.
Do you also say Trudy? Okay, then. Good evening. My name is Trudy Hasiak. No, how'd you do it?
Hasiak.
Trudy Hasiak, and I'm from Port Richey, Florida. I've been recently listening to a few of your podcasts. Now I've completely gone into something else. All right. I found them to be enjoyable. I'm cutting you off, Brad B.
Go ahead.
Informative and fascinating. Brad and Brad, both of your voices, I like this in the next part, are pleasant and modulation exquisite.
Ooh.
Damn.
That's your production magic.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, and I just have, you know, a buttery voice.
Right. Just, it's natural. It comes natural.
Yeah, it's genetics, man. I can't take credit for any of it.
But I'm on like a Windows 5 and a $15 microphone, and you make this sound great.
Yeah. Yeah, you sound like, you sound like,
was that?
Like, I don't know, 7 or 8 badgers trying to fight their way out of a bag. A small bag.
Right. That's the raw footage.
Yeah.
Raw audio footage. But then you magically turn it into what everyone's hearing.
Well, and that's
right
the whole
now.
Thing is I don't have to do any of that business to my voice because.
Right.
How are you going to improve that, right? You, on the other hand. Oh, God. All right, anyway, sorry, Trudy. And now for the content of your shows. I understood you were both speaking English, but I had no idea what you were saying. That is no fault of your own. You see, I have no idea who Pearl Jam is. Oh, I know they're a band from Washington, and they're very popular, and I think their drummer just has one arm. And my son loves them and goes to their concerts in my beloved Wrigley Field. But that's about that. I've heard a few restraints coming from his car radio, but then in deference to his dear old mom, he switches to Beatles or Motown. He's just a good boy. That's very sweet. And I think their drummer just has one arm. Okay, here's the deal. If you really think that, I love it. If you were just being funny, I love it. I don't know which it is.
Either way, it's
you
funny.
Won.
It works on both levels.
Yep. Oh, layers. Inception joke. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. She says, okay, having said that, this is what I do know. You guys love Pearl Jam, and it comes through each podcast. You're both very knowledgeable and articulate. I love the album rating show where you each were able to defend your individual rating choices. I also enjoy the true respect and friendship that comes across. Aww. And I must say you guys cracked me up a number of times. I, of course, because I'm new to listening, am not privy to the inside jokes, but I can pick up on that from the sheer joy and laughter. And Brad B., son of a bitch.
Yes. Yes. What's the next line?
I edited it. I'm pulling in my editing powers. Okay. And Brad B, do not stop that slide whistle. She goes on to say, it's hysterical. Love it. I picture you sitting there with a pair of those Groucho Marx glasses on. The big black frames, the nose, and the bushy black mustache. I like the way you vary the programming with emails, special guest appearances like Amanda B., and story time. So in conclusion, you guys are doing a great job. Keep it up. Go Cubs. P.S.
Yes.
Brad L., please work on your pronunciation of Chicago and sausage.
Chicago.
Oh, my God.
What'd you think of this email?
I love it.
I knew you would.
Love it. That's why you said I had to read this one, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's another reason.
Because of the P.S.?
No.
What's the other reason?
I have a confession.
Oh, it's Trudy. You.
No, it's not me.
Oh.
Trudy Hasiak is my mother. And she finally started listening.
Oh, my God! Oh, man. She probably hates me. Because I don't know. It's your mom, and I cuss a lot.
Oh, so do I.
That's true. She's okay with it, though. Nah, I didn't think so.
We just don't talk about it.
Oh my God. Well,
I mean, I don't swear in front of her.
So you know exactly how to say her last name, you asshole. You hornswoggled me.
Yeah. I can't believe. So you had no idea?
No. Why would I?
I mean, there's little hints in there.
Yeah. So
my son loves them and goes to their concerts in Wrigley Field.
Well, yeah, so do a lot of people.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh God, that is amazing.
He's just a good boy.
Well,
she's talking about me.
No, she's not. She's just being nice. Oh, that okay. Now I'm kind of glad you didn't tell me that was your mom. But now I kind of want to reread it. But
yeah, go ahead.
No, I'm not.
We
going
can
to
read it again and just.
Love the drummer part though.
Yeah, dude, that is 100% real.
Oh, she thinks it's a Def Leppard podcast?
No.
I'm kidding.
She might. Well, no, she. I was, you know, I've told you before, I think, I was huge into Def Leppard when I was younger. So she just cross-pollinated.
I got you.
Yeah, my son's favorite band, the drummer only has one arm.
Yeah, right.
So.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
But I think, that came up, I think it was yesterday, we were texting about it, and she said that she thought that their drummer only had one arm. And I told her, I thought you were joking. And she was like, no. And I said, well, it works both ways, so that's perfect. So
some deep shit, man. Well, thanks, Trudy. If you're still listening, you're probably not.
Yeah, thanks, Mom. But she literally listened to two episodes last week.
Oh, wow.
For the first time.
That's funny.
I think, what did she tell me? I know it was, well, obviously it was the ranking one, which was like our second or third episode.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's our second episode, isn't it? Then
probably,
we did 10, then ranking, and then single video theory. And then she must have listened to like 48 or 49.
That's
like
adorable.
One of the ones. Yeah.
So adorable. All right. Thanks, Trudy.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom.
Who you got next?
Jen.
Yeah, Jen.
Jen Harris. Hey there, B-Rads. I kept meaning to write in after the last few episodes, which, like a fine wine and Blazik's ever-amusing slide whistle, only get better with time.
I just shed a single tear.
Did I just hit my limit, though?
Anything, you know, past zero is over your limit, in my opinion. But whatever.
All right. Well, all right. Thoughts on the Nothing album. Only you two could talk about your lowest ranking album and still fucking love, quote unquote, at least half the tracks. It's the magic of Pearl Jam and why I love you guys. Loved having Clint sit in for the Eddie episode, and I 100% agree with his assessment of Into the Wild. Do you remember what his assessment was?
I don't, actually.
Well, just suffice it to say, Clint didn't like it, she doesn't either.
Gotcha.
And Brad B., I too hope Eddie hears the episode and knows how much you love him. Dude, I don't think we talked about it. When you cut that in, when that was the first thing when you hit play, was me like, I just hope Eddie hears this and knows how much I love him. It just cracked me up so hard.
I think one of the funnier parts of that clip too, people probably can't even hear it, but you say it in that goofy ass voice of yours, and then you can hear Clint and I kind of trying not to laugh at you.
Yeah,
that kind of like kind of thing.
Okay, Clint says
and he
okay
goes,
or
okay
something.
Yeah,
yeah. So funny. The funny thing is, like, when I said it, like, I can hear it in my voice that I was almost saying it like under my breath.
Right.
Like, I didn't even realize it was coming out, and then I said it. And then I'm like, oh, God. And you guys are, like, looking at me and then looking at each other and, trying not to laugh.
Yeah.
And then I forgot about it, and then I hit play on the episode, and that's the first thing that you hear. It's not even, like, the intro music. It's me, like, mumbling, I hope Eddie hears this.
man. You are sad.
Oh, yeah.
But, let's see.
Yeah. I do love you, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She goes on to say, this week's education on Brendan O'Brien and his influence on so many successful albums was eye-opening. It was also fun to hear you two talk about other bands and their music styles, like Korn. I mean, who doesn't love Korn?
Yeah, she says with a winky face, everyone.
Mm, yeah, well, who doesn't love Korn, Brad Lyons?
Me. 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 Music rap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't even
I mean, I'm not snobby about it. I just don't like it.
I love that you think I love Korn. Like
you do.
Coming up next week on the Korn podcast.
But yeah, I'm waiting for it to happen.
Brad Bad.
There's going to be a Korn coup on the Pearl Jam podcast.
Coup is spelled with a K, a backwards K.
One Monday morning... These people are going to wake up and look at their phone and see if the new episode's there, and it's going to be a new name.
Oh, dude.
It'll just be a picture of one of Fieldy's dreads. Will be the logo. And you're just going to talk. You won't even have a co-host. You'll just talk about Korn for 2.5 hours.
Oh, yeah,
because
I could. Because I could.
I know. I know. I'm just trying to teach you to, you know... It's not a guilty pleasure if you like it. You know what I mean? Just let that freak flag fly and let everyone know how much you love Korn. You know?
We should do that like April Fool's. Just do a straight up 100% serious podcast about Korn.
It's great. You just ruined it. Thanks.
Yeah. Well, you can cut it out. Cut that out.
No. All right, back to Jen's
email. Keep it up, guys. I expect many more fantastic episodes, but we'll settle for a bunch of decent ones and even a handful of crappy ones. Just don't stop nerding out anytime soon, Jen.
Oh, you don't have to worry about that.
How did she know that our next episode was going to be a crappy one?
Oh, man, she's got her finger right on the pulse, doesn't
she?
Yeah,
yeah, definitely.
All right. This is a short one from, which I appreciated because I kept forgetting to look up the song. This is a reference to the Brendan O'Brien episode.
Yeah, we're talking about Incubus.
Yeah, it's one of our OG listeners, Neil Hansen. Oh, there they are. Yeah. Good God, it's been like 2 months.
Yeah.
Was that Starling?
That was Dharma.
Dharma, okay. Anyway, yeah, this is from our friend Neil Hansen. He says, Bradlington's, I think the dark political Incubus song you were referring to is Megalomaniac off the 2003's A Crow Left of the Murder, and that is exactly the one I was thinking of.
Mm.
Did you like that song?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought it was
but
really
I didn't,
cool.
But I didn't really like that album.
Yeah, I didn't hear the album, but I liked that single. But
that, yeah, that song was good. There's a couple bangers on that one, but overall, yeah. I wasn't a fan of that album.
Would you call them, yeah, bangers? Is that the terminology you're using
yes.
now?
Yes.
Got some real bangers?
Okay. Yeah. The whole, you know, the whole album, though, was just kind of like honk honk.
Hmm. Honk honk.
Yeah, that's all what right. all the kids are saying. When it's something they don't like, that's what they say.
Honk honk?
Yeah.
Where'd you pick this up? How do you know this?
It's something Amanda said.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But that's not actually what she said. I just misheard it.
What'd she say?
I'm trying to make it a thing.
Oh,
she
God.
Was. We were talking about Chinese food, and there's a Chinese place here in town called Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And you Chinese. I guess no one likes it.
Oh, okay.
And what she said was like, they're all like Hong Kong. And I thought she was saying honk honk to mean it was something that's like... The kids don't like.
You should start that.
I just did.
I know you did.
Again, A Crow Left of the Murder. That's Incubus's like honk honk album.
Okay. Well, I'm going to listen to it just because you said that and see what I think.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. He says, thanks for mentioning Mastodon's Crack the Sky. I thought you might not. Love Mastodon. That is my favorite album of all time by any artist. The band kind of lost their way. I know. That's intense. I like it. The band kind of lost their way the next couple of albums after that. Thankfully, they brought Brendan back to produce their latest, Emperor of Sand, which was a fine return to form. And I agree with that. It's a cool record, too. From Neil Hansen in Vancouver. Thanks so much, dude. It's good to hear from you again. And we got one more.
One more from Bill. Hey, Brad and Brad. Thank you so much for all your work on the Single Podcast Theory. I listened to episode 49 on Avocado / Self-Titled / Nothing and loved it. One thought on that Nameless album, though. I've always wished the first track would have been Severed Hand. The way it slowly builds and then starts to rock and continues to rock. So Severed Hand, Life Wasted, Comatose, Worldwide, Suicide, Marker in the Sand. That would be a cool lineup on the album.
It would be, yeah.
He says, I'm 46 years old and I was a sophomore at Ohio University when 10 came out in 91. I was a DJ at one of the local stations, so I heard Alive right away. Mind blown. Been a fan ever since. In 2011, me and my fiance, now my wife, Carolyn, were about to hit the road to drive from Cleveland to Toronto for 2 Pearl Jam shows, but instead, I ended up in the hospital where I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. I had a 50-50 shot of making it, but so far, well, I'm still alive. All the while, the Pearl Jam community has been a source of inspiration and motivation to me. Listening to your podcast has brought back some of those feelings again. I'm going to the Wrigley show, so if you guys are there, the first round of 312s are on me, your fellow nerd, Bill.
Hell yeah, Bill.
Dude, yeah, that's pretty cool that people listen to the show and get, you know, that feeling that, like, I get when I go to a show, you know, and hang out with the Pearl Jam fans.
Sure.
So the fact that we're doing that for someone is pretty cool. So thank you, Bill.
Yeah, and Bill, you're a fucking badass.
Yeah, dude.
That was in 2011?
Yeah.
Man, keep it up. Whatever you're doing, keep it up, man. That's badass.
Don't smoke and drink lots of water.
Yeah. Like the opposite of what we do.
Yeah.
Well, we do half of it. We both drink lots of water.
Drink a lot of water.
But, man, thanks so much for sharing that with us and reaching out. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Keep in touch.
I mean, Wrigley, he said that he's going to Wrigley, so.
Oh, hell yeah. We all got to meet.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be figuring out somewhere where maybe we can announce somewhere where we can all meet up.
Yeah, we should. I don't know. Never mind.
Okay.
Just it's official. I mean, it's always been like we're going, but it became official this week that we'll be there. Friday.
Yep.
The 17th.
Yep.
So we'll be there for both shows. We're going to be there in the day off, and we're going to try and figure out somewhere to meet up so, like, people can come and say hi that want to say hi. And we'll probably do that on the Sunday in between the two shows.
Yeah.
But, I mean, for people that aren't going to be there both nights, like, we will be around, and I'm sure I'll have my head in my phone all day. So,
yeah, right on.
We'll let people know what's going on. But I can't wait, dude.
We'll make it happen for sure.
Yeah, I'm so excited.
Me too. Now that it's, you know. Yeah.
It's real.
Yeah, it's real now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Super psyched.
Oh, well, we should say too, right? We need tickets.
I'm going to let you handle this because you've been the one kind of like, kind of scattered on where we're at right now. But
no, I say that. I mean, it sounds like a joke after I just said, oh, we're going. Well, we need tickets. No, we have 2 tickets for night 2. Those have been secured, paid for, and we're good. Night 1, we still need tickets. I feel, am I a dick for being like, beggars can't be choosers. Like, we've had a couple people like offer us single tickets, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really think we can find a pair sitting together. So
sure.
If anyone has or if you have GA, you know, we'd like GA better, but we want to find we'd like to get a pair for night 1.
Yeah.
So, but I'm just throwing it out there. I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't listen, that will have tickets that night. So,
sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And just be clear, obviously we'll pay for them. I'm not asking for tickets. I'm just saying,
right.
We need, if you got a spare that you want to sell, let us know.
Willing
Single
to pay.
singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com.
Hell yeah. And, you know, on that note, segue to, yeah, that's our email address. You can also find us on all the socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We put up the show on YouTube, all that good stuff. So hit us up, say hi, follow us, all that good shit. And obviously, we have many great supporters through Patreon. If you'd like to support the show, that's where you find out all the information. patreon.com. You know, we don't make any money off of it, but it's easier. It makes it a lot easier for us to kind of plan for the show, get the equipment we need. And we want to find ways to give back to the listeners as well. So, you can go to patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory for that. Did I miss anything?
Just like. You can go to patreon.com/singlepodcasttheory just like Rob Edwards did.
No, look at that segue. My little Blazy's all grown up.
Oh, man, I'm trying. I might be ready to like, kick the show off one of these days. Like, take over.
Yeah, it's... yeah.
I was trying to be smooth about it. But yeah, Rob Edwards is a new patron, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks so much, dude. Means a lot. All right, so one of the things that I thought might maybe jumpstart some conversation, because God knows you and I can just, like, you know, beat the shit out of a tangent real quickly.
Yeah.
So... actually, it kind of goes back to our story for this week from Steve McCollum. He had kind of had a couple questions and stuff that were part of his email, so I didn't read that as part of the story, but I thought maybe this could be a jumping off point. You cool with that?
Sure.
All right, let's see. Where do I want to start? This is a more general kind of thing, but I like it. He says... she got a lot of suggestions, but walking through my discovery and cutting short my story, I was wondering if you guys would like to talk about the evolving sound of Pearl Jam. From starting out with their super loud and distorted but thin-sounding 10 Days, to the thicker-sounding Vitology to Yield Days, where Eddie was in his prime screaming phase and leading into the more mature, dialed-back guitars of the mid-2000s and then adding boom. What do you think about all that?
Ooh, there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
I like the fact... I love Boom being in there live. But if I'm being honest, I wouldn't want him to be on the studio albums.
Okay, why?
I just wouldn't want that sound all over it. Because he's so subtle live.
Yeah, sure.
And it sounds like cool being, you know, in the background. But man, I don't think I would love that their music with that addition being all over it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and he doesn't typically, like, he's not playing on every song on the records and stuff like that. But
right.
I mean, he definitely.
No, they sprinkle him in like the perfect amount on the records.
Yeah, I mean, especially. Stuff like Infallible and oh my god, Pendulum.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
which are both great live songs as well. But
yeah
I don't know. I think, and the funny thing about him saying something specifically about Boom, I think that and again, this is all speculation on my part, but there is this vibe that Boom was another kind of like spiritual mentor or something in the band. They've always tended to have, I don't know, people around, not necessarily in the band, but like Matt was like that for them. Matt helped them through a lot of shit. Jack was like that. Jack helped them through a lot of shit.
Yeah, the four dudes have needed a mentor pretty much from the beginning, you know?
Yeah. It just seems like he might be kind of that, and this kind of like chill, I don't know, connective tissue for the whole band. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Musically and personally. But
yeah.
And for me personally, I like that he says something specific about the kind of dialed back guitars of the mid 2000s, which I like I love the fact that Mike really started, not started, he was doing this the whole time, but like maturing out of the first record where there's a lot of you know, a lot of that like Stevie Ray Vaughan, Jimi Hendrix, you kind of, not to diminish how great they are, but you kind of knew what you were going to get with the Mike McCready guitar solo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And you fast forward to you know, like Binaural, and there's a lot of texture on that record and interesting sounds, and it's not all just, it might still be pentatonic blues scale, but he's not just kind of ripping the whole time, you know?
Yeah.
Seems like he's kind of constructing parts and melodies and stuff for leads, as opposed to, and I love it when he shreds. I'm not saying I don't love that, because I do, but
piss break,
right? Exactly.
No, I hear what you're saying. Yeah, he's definitely, I don't know. Yeah, evolved. You know, I don't know. If you look at 10. A lot of that stuff kind of sounds like samey.
Right. Because it is.
But yeah, but then when you get to Binaural, you know, it's definitely opened up, and there's a lot more, what do you call it? I don't know, ethereal?
Yeah.
Ethereal sounds going on?
Yeah. Ambience and...
Ambience. Yeah. That's what I was trying to say. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's more room for those notes to come through.
And specifically, you know, that's also Chad Blake, though, who, you know, we're talking specifically there as an example with Binaural. Like, everything he does is ambient in a way. Like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, he just does weird and I think awesome, like, you know, okay, he doesn't just stick a mic on a guitar cab. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, okay, we're gonna take this tiny, shitty little amp, and we've got this metal trash can, and we're gonna stick the amp into the trash can, and then maybe we'll put the mic right above it. Maybe we'll put the metal lid on top of the trash can and mic that instead, or whatever. You know what I mean? So I think that kind of environment probably forced a lot of experimentation in a way, you know?
Yeah. But. And what I like about that stuff is that it doesn't come off as like, how do you say that word?
Avant-garde.
Avant-garde, yeah. It sounds like Pearl Jam making rock songs, but with a weird twist on it.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know that the microphone was in a trash can, where you would with some weird art noise music.
Right.
You know?
Sure, yeah. To me, that was kind of their, I don't know why, this is probably a terrible comparison, and especially for you, but Binaural to me is kind of their like Pink Floyd-y record.
Yeah, in a weird way, that.
You know?
Not all of them, but yeah. I mean, obviously, Nothing as It Seems. But yeah, I could see that.
Well, but you know, I mean, well, maybe you don't because you don't like them, but I mean, Pink Floyd isn't just like a slow tempo stoner jam. I mean, they've got some pretty crazy shit, you know.
Yeah,
a lot closer to the rock and roll side, but
I've tried.
We're still gonna figure it out.
Them.
We're gonna figure it out.
Okay.
All right.
Just don't send me a greatest hits thing. I need to hear songs I've
never
heard.
No, I would
never
do that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what Clint did. He sent me a list, and it's like I've heard all these songs on the radio, and these are all the songs that I hate.
Well, we're going to get some texts or emails from Clint now.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, Clint.
You blew it.
I love Clint. I hope he hears this and knows how much I love him.
Oh, God. Let's see here. What was the other thing I wanted to pull from Steve's email? Oh, he asked, finally, if it hasn't been answered yet, as I am quite behind, was there any rationale why you didn't do a more chronological approach to the podcast? I don't mind the mix up, but naturally you would think one would utilize a chronological approach. And there's obviously some reason why you chose otherwise. You want to take that one?
Yeah, I think, I don't know if we, I think we talked about it, but it wasn't like a long conversation. It was pretty much like, do you want to do it like this or do you want to do it like this? And we both were like, let's do it the way we're doing it. And I think to me, a chronological one kind of makes you like, you'd be cut off. I mean, we would do 10 albums and kind of be cut off after like 10 or 15 episodes.
Right.
And especially once you get to that point, once you get to Lightning Bolt, you can't, there's nothing else to go the next chronological thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't. You can't go anywhere. So you'd have to start going back
and sure.
trying to cut into something else. So I don't know. I think it's just like we started with 10 and we're just going to bounce all over the place.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just a way of keeping it exciting, I think, for us and for the listeners.
Right.
To not know that, you know, while every week might not be an album episode, when you do get an episode, you aren't going to know what it's going to be because we're not going in order, you know?
Right.
And for me, too, it's like these albums, I kind of felt like I knew I would be listening to them in a different way. And for me anyway, I kind of start picking up on, you know, maybe I notice one specific record has been mentioned a lot in our emails, you know, completely separate email chains and stuff like that. And it's like, you know what? And, you know, like Riot Act for me, I think was that way. I'd just kind of been listening to it for whatever reason anyway. And then a couple people mentioned the record on emails. And for me, it was just like, all right, cool. Let's do Riot Act. It just kind of keeps it fresh for me anyway.
Yeah. Natural.
Yeah. Especially if like I've been listening to that. Right. Exactly. But yeah, it was a good question.
And I like that people have gone back now. Like they just discover us in the last few weeks and they go in order. Like they'll listen to the album episodes in order of the way the albums came out.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, that's all I got. So we'll see you guys next week. And
yeah.
All
right.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm Brad Blazek saying, okay.
Saying right. Peace. So what do you think is the, here, this is just a total random question.
What's your favorite color, Brad Lyons?
Oh God. As a Pearl Jam fan that, you know, obviously, puts his thoughts out on the band to lots of other rabid fans.
Right.
What do you think is the most misunderstood thing about you by people that listen?
Off the top of my head, that I hate Riot Act.
Really? Okay.
Or like the Avocado. Nothing.
And you're saying because those are your two quote-unquote least favorite that you think
right.
that
exactly.
everyone
yeah.
thinks
so we
to.
Get emails from people like, oh, I can't believe... Like, you don't like Riot Act, or you put Riot Act at the bottom. And I you know, it's like,
yeah.
That's probably the biggest misunderstanding.
Sure. Interesting.
What All about right. you?
Same. Well, obviously, there's people that got a little... I mean, no one was shitty or weird about it, but, you know, my putting... the album 10 at the number 8 slot in my top
yeah.
10 list.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing, I guess. Like, people think I'm not a fan of 10. I absolutely right. am. That's why. That's how I fell in love with the fucking band, you know? But to me, it just feels... I love hearing the songs from 10, like, maybe on a boot or something, but I wore that fucking record out. And then
yeah.
to kind of live with them and see what they became, and I liked what they became so much better than what they were at the very beginning, to be honest with you. Like, I liked the rougher, more fuck it mentality towards recording and writing, and you know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I obviously I think 10's a great record, but
yeah,
it's not my go-to anymore. But whatevs. Well, you got anything else, dude? I mean, we covered a lot in the emails, but
yeah, we went deep in the emails. Did we ever talk about? You've only seen them once or twice?
Just once.
In Atlanta?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Have we ever talked about that? Like, do you have any, like, major story? Not major, but do you have any stories from when you, that time you saw them in Atlanta? I think you said they opened, did they open with Hail Hail?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, that's what I was about to say, is that
yeah.
The opening song was just like, holy shit. Like, this is, you know, it's like, this is meant to be. I've wanted to see them for so long, and little did I know I was about to tour myself for a living. You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
And that would make it really hard for me to go see shows.
Right.
I was so excited that I finally got to see them. I was with a really good friend that really loved Pearl Jam too, and they opened with one of my favorite songs, you know. That was pretty special.
Yeah.
But
and do you remember that was, I'm looking it up here real quick. Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
98 or 96?
It was 98.
Lakewood Amphitheater?
Yeah, the September, I think it was the first.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, ooh. I mean, oh, I got it right here. So yeah, Hail Hail, Animal, into Given to Fly, into Do the Evolution, into Dissident, into Corduroy, into I Got Id, into Wishlist, Even Flow, In Hiding, Last Exit, a rap.
Do you remember the Yeasty Girls rap?
Oh yeah. Because really? I was like, what the fuck is going on right now?
That's funny, because that seems like that would be something they did like in 91 or 92, but not 98.
Yeah, it's crazy,
right? The Yeasty Girls rap. I've watched it just because of the novelty of it like years ago, but I don't remember what that was at all.
Yeah. No, I mean, I haven't even finished the list, and those are like... Oh. Everyone knows a lot of those are my favorite fucking Pearl Jam songs.
Yeah.
All squashed into like the first 10 or 11 songs. But I also got Off He Goes, MFC, Better Man, Brandon J. And then the first set ended with Alive. And then they did Go into No Way, into Rearview Mirror, into Daughter, into Black. And I specifically remember Black. I remember...
crying.
I remember... wondering if Eddie was still singing it with the We Belong Together tag thing from Unplugged. He did that. It sounded amazing. And then I just remember there's the extended mic solo at the end of it, which is pretty badass, which went into Porch, which was another jam. And then my favorite song, Yellow Ledbetter.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, man.
That's a show, dude.
That's so... I mean, obviously, now I'm finally going to get to see them again, but if that had to be my only Pearl Jam set that I ever saw, I'm not really going to complain too much about that set list.
No, that's a great... Dude, those 98 shows were so incredible.
Well, and like...
I mean, that tour was just so great.
I feel a lot of people don't like No Way, but I've always loved that song and still do. I remember being so psyched that I got to see that one, but yeah, man, it was a good, it was, the whole experience was just so different back then though. I feel like shows are such a pain in the ass now.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I'm older, but I really do feel like the whole process has changed. I mean, you don't think so?
In which way?
just with technology and how it's seemingly so much easier for scalpers to rip people off. And you can't get fucking tickets. And I mean, for me, it was like, and granted, this is because I was younger, but like, well, I'm going to fucking camp out for tickets. You know? Like, I'm not calling Ticketmaster. And then, you know, tickets are so fucking expensive now.
Yeah. Yeah, they really are.
I mean, back then, I feel like expensive tickets for the band I wanted to go see was usually like, I don't know, 30 to 50, maybe?
I'm looking at my stub from Chicago, 98.
Uh-huh.
Do you guess how much the tickets
I probably don't even want to know. Is it 20?
23.
Get the fuck out of here. $23,
yeah.
But then there's charges on top of that, right?
Yeah, that doesn't show on there what the charges are.
But still, you're talking $40? 50?
I doubt it was that much back then, because when they were fighting Ticketmaster, they were fighting over like a $2 charge.
Right.
Even back then.
Sure.
You know? I don't think it was more than like $5 or $10 total for the fees. The fees now are fucking insane.
Yeah.
I was looking at Ghost tickets because Susan wants to go see them.
Where?
And there's like in Louisville.
Okay.
At the, what is it? It's not the Pageant. That's St. Louis.
Yeah.
It's something with a P. I saw 311 there. But anyway, it's like a $40 fee.
Yeah, it's for the insane. Ticket.
I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, how the fuck can they get away with that?
Well, I mean, who's going to, I don't know.
But it's that or don't go.
Right, you know what I mean? Like, because people are still going to go to the shows.
Yeah, and I don't know, is it Ticketmaster? Is it Ghost? Is it the theater? You know, it's the Palace. I just thought of it, the Palace Theater in Louisville.
Oh, yeah. Have
you ever been there?
I think I've played there before.
It's real, like...
I know I've seen shows there before. I saw... Leslie took me for my birthday one year to... she had gotten Jason Isbell and Ryan Adams tickets at the Palace there.
In Louisville?
Mm-hmm.
How fucking far of a drive is that for you?
It's a hike. It's like probably 5-6 hours.
Were they not playing anywhere close? Dude, it's more than that.
Is it?
It's 4 hours. It's like 4 hours from me. And I'm like 4 hours from you. Anyway.
We did made a trip out of it. It wasn't like we just shot up there for the show. Like, we got a hotel downtown and like kind of stayed for the weekend and all that shit. Sorry. You're such a fucking goon. But it was cool, too, to think back on that, because Jason Isbell wasn't Jason Isbell yet. Like, he was just about to put Southeastern out, which is the thing that kind of made him blow up as a songwriter. And I remember, he had just gotten sober. He was talking about that. He still had, like, the... I don't mean this in like a mean way, it's just how to describe it. Like, he had the baby fat still.
Yeah.
Where you look at him now and he looks like a fucking, I don't, like...
chiseled.
Yeah, he's a badass. But, so it was cool to get to see that. It was just him by himself in that theater, just an acoustic guitar. Yeah. And I was like, holy... Because I knew who the Drive-By Truckers were, and I thought they were cool, but they never really, like... I wasn't, like, a huge fan of them.
Yeah.
But I like listening to them. And then I knew he had left, but I don't really think I understood what his role in that band was and how good of a songwriter he was. And then, you know, it took a couple solo records, but once he got to Southeastern, like, he was just fucking on fire.
Next level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was killer, man. We just went on a Jason Isbell tangent, and I like it.
We went from that to Ghost.
That's right. I think we can wrap it up here, don't you?
Sure.
Thanks for letting us try this out, everybody. Hopefully you made it to this part of the show.
Yeah.
But, sorry. You know, as usual, we'll be back next week. Email us, singlepodcasttheory@gmail.com. And until next week, I'm Brad Lyons.
And I'm Brad Blazek, saying, please stand by the shore. I will be there once more.
Damn right you will.
Yeah. Please, guys, stand by. We'll be back and better than ever.
Whatever, dude. This is fun.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. You get what we give you.
That's right. And you'll be happy about it.
Yeah.
I'm out. No,
I died and you walked by and said, no, I'm dead.
I was high. Fuck yeah. Woo! And the rest of you guys.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
all right,
God.
Well, you ready to let the great experiment begin?
Freestyle?
Yeah, man.
Freestyle, yo. Yeah, let me turn this
That's what
off.
I'll call it. Freestyle.
Freestyle, yo.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool. That's what I wrote in my book.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I can see you're excited.
No, I am. I'm just thinking, there's got to be a comma after freestyle. Yo.
Dot, dot, dot.
No. Well, because when you say yo like that, you're kind of referring to someone, right? So.
If you put a comma in there, yeah. But dot, dot, dot just is like freestyle. Yo.
That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
That's me.
Oh, God. Okay, we'll deal with the grammar of said episode later.
But you got to have a exclamation point after the yo.
Absolutely.
However you do it. Yeah. All right. So we're on the same page. That like rarely happens to me now.
Right.
So I'm like, oh, that's great.
Man. Yep. I knew all I had to do is wait a second. Just marinating in your own scent.
So we start talking about shitting. So I'm like, ooh.
Is it really? That's what she thought. Ooh.
I was like, ooh, this will be a good cap to the conversation.
Oh, God. All right, let's do the show that we don't know what's going to happen. I have a little idea, though. Oh, my God. Oh, God. That sounded like you just sharted for sure.
I'm just glad you caught it because you were talking. Okay, I think I'm good.
No, you're not. Brad, don't act like this is like every once in a while behavior for you. This is every fucking time we get together. Silence.
That's your blooper reel.
Oh my God. All right, well, let's carry this madness into the actual episode. Yeah.
This is going to be great.